After all this of like get by in the tent and the community shows, we did Sly Circus, which was absolutely great, and then we also did the last community show, Immortal. And then we wanted to take that out as a professional show, which was such a gamble, the next year, but it actually took 2 years before it happened, so now we're now 2004. Orit was pregnant and couldn't direct, so we got Forenza back, and we created this show in Pontypridd in Hannes and Harrod Park, where we'd been before in about 94, and the tent had got totally flooded, and it was exactly the same place, but the parkies assured me that they'd put drainage in. So we created this show, and it was just absolutely ridiculous. We had no money, nothing, but we created Immortal. And we managed to open the show on opening night. I don't know how, but we did. And then I was connected to the internet for the box office or something. I can't remember why, but so I got the first review in on after the first night. We were in Hannes and Harrod Park. And the first review said we had done, and I was reading it out to Tom, we had done the park proud as well as Viv Richards and Cliff Morgan, who played cricket and rugby in this same park. And Tom looked at me and said, "Why are you crying?" And I said, "Because we're being compared to gods." And that was the first review for Immortal, and it was just amazing. It was so beautiful. And then we just didn't, yeah. Me and Tom were underwriting the tour with our wages, paying for the food, until we got to Clissold Park. Yeah, people weren't coming to see the show. We were losing money hand over fist. And then we went to Clissold Park in Stoke Newington in London. And we'd done a matinee show and no one had turned up. And I'm in the box office on my own with a plate of food someone's brought me. You know. Me. Oh, Liz had brought me, yes, of course. It was delicious, but I'm sitting there. But the three box office phones, and because we've just done the show, everyone's taking a break, but I've got three box office phones. And then all of a sudden someone comes up to the window, box office window, and asks to buy a ticket. Oh, brilliant. And then the first phone rings, "We'd like to buy tickets for tonight's show." And then all of a sudden there's somebody else at the window wanting to buy tickets. And the second phone starts ringing and "I want to buy tickets." And then the third phone starts ringing and "I want to buy tickets." And the queue's getting longer and it's just like absolutely unbelievable. And I'm trying to turn off the phone, disconnect the last caller so I can ring Tom and tell him to get to the box office now to help. And eventually I do, and he arrives and he goes, "Oh, okay, I'll be back in a minute." Yeah. Like, no, now, help me now. And he comes back 2 minutes later with Helen and says, "Tim, I think you should go to the pub. We'll deal with this." It's like, phew. And all of a sudden, it was suddenly realised, actually, this might work. We might be able to sell tickets to this show. We might be able to, financially, this might happen. But also while we're in Clissold Park, because it still wasn't happening quite as good as we wanted it to be, we had a wake in the tent on everyone's day off on the Monday. We had a wake for a man who died from HIV. And, his friends came and had a party in our tent, and we got £600 or whatever for that, which was the food bill for the next week.
Mm. Yeah, it was tight.
Yeah, and we didn't have any water in Clissold Park.
We didn't. It was a pushy button, top pipe up the road.
Yeah.
And Stevie K used to do all our washing and baths.
Yeah.
I can remember it being very busy, though, Clissold Park. And that was...
Well, it happened.
We did have to have... There was the box office. So there's somebody always at those little hatches.
Yeah, there were three in those days.
Three hatches. And then somebody had the first phone, and then there was a second phone that rotated between people, wasn't there? And all the bookings were done by phone, and we were, you know, that was the most effective way in those days. I remember feeling really, it was quite exciting when we first got the card reader as well to take bookings, and then you had all these things that...
Yeah, that first year...
Card reader.
We had to take it
from the box office to the bar and to merchandising and back.
Still do, when we're in Cardiff. But, you know, so that first year, I was absolutely amazed with how mobile we were. So we didn't have internet bookings that first year, but we had the mobile phones... Mm. We had the mobile machine, so people rang up, we could take their card details over the phone, or...
And we printed off all those sheets that we had to fill in every time we took a booking on a piece of paper.
But I also had connection to the internet, and I'm not sure what part of the box office that... Oh, yeah, yeah, because then we had a box office system.
Because one computer was on the internet.
No. I had a computer with the box office program on, and which we'd then print out their tickets. Yeah, everyone pulled together. Yeah. We worked really hard in different ways.
And how much per item? We didn't have branded goods. That was one thing that I decided we weren't going to have branded goods, so we weren't ever going to sell Coca-Cola anyway. But any of those cans, no topics, no Mars bars, no Walker's Crisp.
Oh, topics.
Nothing top. Like that.
They didn't
we were going to have things that nobody really knew the price of.
Mm.
So a can of Whole Earth Elderflower Press, nobody really knows, or ginger beer, or one of those little tubs of Bombay Mix or jelly beans. Mm. And we made a lot of profit from those because we just used to tip the bags into the pots in a not very hygienic way.
If none of it was hygienic back in those days, was
no.
it? Toilets, showers, everything was a bit shit. It was. It's a lot better now. I was talking to Annetta about this, about Clissold Park with the water, you know, having to hold the thing down to get water. And like, she's going, oh, why are they complaining?